Good. So let's just give a little bit of a... We're holding Perek Hey, the beginning of chapter 5. We're going to start today. So let's give a bit of a synopsis, because chapter 5 continues on from chapter 4. So chapter 4, chapter Perek Dalet, he talked about the Levushim, he talked about the garments of the soul. So the soul, Nefesh HaLakis, we're talking about there. The godly soul, that's the midos, the seichel, the intellect, and the emotions of the greatness of Hashem, and understanding Hashem, and so on, love of Hashem, fear of Hashem. And that expresses itself through the thought, speech, and action of Torah and mitzvahs, right? That's what he explained. And therefore, he explained how the breakdown of that is that, you know, the thought of expresses itself through understanding Torah, speech, and action through the mitzvahs, and so on. Then he started saying, and that's where we sort of left off last year. I want to just clarify a little bit what the difference between chapter 4 and chapter 5 is. That although these three garments, which is the thought, speech, and action of Torah and mitzvahs, is called garments, and normally garments is considered secondary to the person wearing the garments, but over here we say the garments are infinitely greater than the neshama itself. Because the neshama itself, at the end of the day, is an existence, it's a metzius, it's something that is not completely bound up with Hashem to the point where it has Hashem, it's connected to Hashem with a complete oneness, because through coming through the whole Seder Hishtalshus, coming through the whole evolution of worlds, the way that Neshama is expressed in this world, it's at least the conscious part of the Neshama, it is a separate, sort of a separate entity, not like the rest of the world. It's still godly, but it's still a separate entity to Hashem himself. Whereas the Torah and Mitzvahs, the Zohar says, Oraisa v'kutcha brichu kulochad. Torah and Hashem are one. Therefore, through engaging in Torah and Mitzvahs, you are becoming one with Hashem. Even though we say normally that a person cannot understand Hashem, cannot grasp Hashem, and so on and so forth. And that is true, that's what the Zohar also tells us. However, what Hashem did was, he squeezed himself in, so to speak, right? Into his Torah and Mitzvahs. We explained last week the different levels of Torah and Mitzvahs. In other words, originally Torah is not in the language that we have it, but the Torah traveled down. Through the humility of Hashem, the Torah will travel down throughout the various layers and express itself in ink, on parchment, in terminology that we can understand, and so on and so forth. So therefore, because the Torah and Hashem are one, when we learn Torah and observe mitzvahs, we're actually connecting to Hashem himself, becoming one with Hashem. Even though it's not so revealed, in other words, but that's what's happening. It's an amazing thing. And that's why, explained, this is what the Pirkei Avos says, that Yofo Sha'achas, a 1 hour of Torah and Tshuva and Ma'asim Tovim, repentance and good deeds in this world is worth more than the whole Olam Haba. Olam Haba, the world to come, is a place of revelation. It's a place of having tainug, having pleasure, so to speak, from the understanding and grasping a revelation of Hashem. But grasping a revelation of Hashem is only possible through a very minute revelation of Hashem. That's why the greatness there is that it's revealed. However, the downside is that it's not the full essence of Hashem. Whereas through observance of Torah and mitzvahs, which the intention, the desire of Hashem was that it should be done in this world, through action and through Torah the way we have it, there you're getting Hashem himself, right? So that's the okay. Then he made a beautiful, just to review for a moment, he said a beautiful mashal at the end. Even though the Torah the way we have it, remember I gave you the idea of why he says Torah is like water, right? So water, just like it comes from high to low, so to the Torah travel down from high level to a low level. However, the water doesn't change. So it's the same water, right? So at the end of the perek, here, Robin, there's a Tanya. Right? At the end of the perek, he gives this beautiful mashal, and he says, just like a king, for example, right? If you mechabek es hamelech, if you hug the king, even if the king is wearing layers and layers of clothing, so the king is somewhat hidden amongst those things, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you hug him when he has no clothes, or you hug him when he has got one garment, or you hug him when he's got 100 garments. The king is still there. You still got the king. Right? That was the idea. So therefore, when we learn Torah and keep mitzvahs in this world, and the Torah and Hashem is one, even though the Torah has traveled down so many layers, right? But nevertheless, it's the same Torah. The king is there. The oneness with Hashem and the Torah is still there. And therefore, it's like hugging the king. Okay, the king is wearing lots of layers, but you still got the king there. Good. So that's the synopsis of chapter 4, Perek Daled. Because the nefesh cannot reach that oneness with Hashem.
But it is already one with Hashem.
Right, so I explained last week. So you know, it's true that in Perek Beis, he starts by saying that the neshama is a chelek alakam imal, it's part of Hashem himself, right? But yet, we also learned that the neshama, that's the origin of the neshama. So the truth is like this. The truth is, it depends what you're talking about. So it depends if you're talking about the neshama in its essence, on the neshama the way it's in this world. So I'll just, since you asked the question, let me explain this. When the Zohar says that the Zohar says that there's three things. There's Hashem, the Torah, and the Jew. And it's like and they're each connected to each other. Basically, what the Zohar is saying that in this world, in order to connect to Hashem, you need the Torah, which would explain in Perek Daled. Yet, we know that the neshama in its origin is actually higher than Torah, right? And this comes from a famous Tana de Belio. The Rebbe brings it down, Chassidus brings it down often. And it says there like this, that there's two things, shekodma lo'olam, two things that transcend the world, right? Torah and the Jewish people. We say the Jewish people mean the neshama v'yid, right? And then, so what does it mean transcend? Well, it says they preceded the world, meaning they transcend the world, right? And then it says mi kodem le mi, but which one came first? Always, which one is higher? Always, yes. Both of these things transcend the world, but which one is higher? So it says that if you look into the Torah, what's the Torah say? The Torah says, "Daber al bnei Yisrael, speak to the Jewish people. Emor al bnei Yisrael, right? Say to the Jewish nation." In other words, the Jew comes first, right? Yeah. So which one is higher? Is it Torah or the Neshama? So in essence, the Neshama is higher. Which is why, by the way, Tshuva works. Tshuva, when we dig very, very deep, and we dig down to the essence of the Neshama, the very, very origin of the Neshama, when we've messed up in the Torah, we reach a place where we go even higher than the Torah, where our connection to Hashem transcends the Torah, right? There's also the famous sicha that the Rebbe spoke about breaking the luchais, right? That was a famous simchas Torah where the Rebbe spoke this sicha. In fact, it was the simchas Torah just after I got engaged. Remember, we got engaged Chol HaMoed Sukkos, and that simchas Torah the Rebbe spoke the sicha. It was a very emotional sicha. The Rebbe was cried a lot by the sicha. It was because simchas Torah often the Rebbe would speak about the greatness of the neshama, the greatness of the Jew. And then he spoke about the last Rashi in Chumash, about how come it says there that Moshe Rabbeinu got a big yashakoyach for breaking the luchos, right? And what does it mean? No, the point of the sikha was that Moshe Rabbeinu's connection to the Jew was even greater than Moshe Rabbeinu's connection to the Torah. And therefore, if it came to a place where he had to actually break the Torah in order to reveal the essence of the Yid, he did it. Okay, that's true. However, in a conscious and a revealed way, in this world, it's the other way around. The neshama needs the Torah to connect to Hashem. Because the neshama, as it travels down through Seder Ishtalshlus, is affected. And therefore, although there's a part of the neshama that doesn't come down to the body and remains connected to our neshama down here, and the essence of the neshama, and the pintaliyat and all that, but that's not the conscious part of the neshama. The neshama, the way it is in the body, is godly, but it's a creation. Because it's been affected by the whole travel down through Seder Ishtalshlus, through the different worlds. Torah hasn't been affected. And therefore, everything in this world, to reveal its godliness, needs Torah. In fact, we say that although we learn that ultimately the Yid is even higher than Torah, who tells us that? Torah. Torah reveals that the Neshama is higher than Torah. The question was, what do we need the Torah to connect Hashem? The Torah, the Neshama itself is godly. But we're talking about the Neshama the way it is here, needs the Torah to connect Hashem. Because when we say, Les machshava tfisa be, when the Zohar says that no thought could grasp Hashem, It's not referring to our human thought. It's talking about even our neshama thought. Even the machshava of the neshama, even a godly thought, down here, cannot really truly grasp Hashem. But the Torah and mitzvahs it can. There's a time where we have to circumvent that whole system, so to speak, and then go back to the very origin of the neshama, the pintel of the neshama, the essence of the neshama, and show how it's even higher than Torah, but not the way the neshama is down here.
So when we study, is the mechanism that we connect the lower neshama with the
yes.
upper neshama?
Yeah, no, to then not the upper neshama. No, we're connecting to the Torah, and that's connecting us to that's grabbing Hashem Himself. Okay, so that is Perek Dalet. Now, in Perek Dalet, he's not only talking about learning Torah. I might have been not so clear last week on that, but it's not only talking about learning Torah. It's talking about Torah mitzvahs in general. So whether it's doing a mitzvah, learning Torah, right? Whatever it is. Or Torah itself has two parts, by the way, as we'll see later. Torah is the understanding of Torah and the mitzvah of Torah, right? In other words, we learn Torah, there's two things that's happening. There's a separate category to mitzvahs, which is grasping Torah. And then there's the mitzvah of learning Torah. So you're doing both, right? But last week was about everything. Torah and mitzvahs, Hashem is one with it. And therefore, we grasp Torah, or we grasp a mitzvah. What are we doing? We're grasping Hashem. We're catching Hashem, right? In Perek Hay, in the fifth parak, he's going to introduce that within that itself, there's a greatness in Torah learning over everything else. Specifically learning Torah. Because there, the connection is even deeper. We'll see why in a second. All right. So he starts like this, parak hey. On the Tosfos biur bayir heitev. To add explanation, a good explanation. Loshen tfisa, to understand this expression of tfisa, to grab, to grasp. Because Eliyahu, in the Zohar, was brought down, les machshava tfisa be. There's no thought that can grab Hashem, so to speak, right? What does that mean? Like, grabbing is when we do a physical thing. Like, what does that mean to grab? What's the depth of that expression? She omar Eliyahu, that Eliyahu said in the Zohar, brought down, les machshava tfisa boch, right? So he starts and explains like this. He explains the advantage of understanding something. How does it work? It's like this. You know, kol seichel keshemaskil umasig besichloi. Any seichel, any intellect. When you think about it and you grasp it in your intellect, any muskel, any subject, what happens? The first thing that happens is like this. Harei seichel toifes es hamuskel. Figuratively speaking, our intellect grasps the concept, right? So there's a concept, it's a bit elusive, I don't understand it. I think about it, I process it, I get it. So my seichel, my intellect, if you can think of it in physical terms, grabs the concept. It has the concept now.
Chaptet,
exactly. Umakifoy besichloy. And it surrounds it with its intellect. In other words, my intellect surrounds the concept. It's fully encompassing the concept. The hamuskel and the concept, the subject, nitpas, is now grabbed, umukaf, and surrounded, umalubish, and enclosed, b'soicha seichel shehisigoy v'hiskiloy. Okay? In the seichel, in the intellect that grasped it and understood it. However, something else also happens. It's the other way around as well. The gamma seichel melubish b'muskel. It's not only that our intellect grasps the subject and the subject is dressed up in our seichel, is enclosed in our seichel. It's the other way around also. It's the other way around as well. My seichel is enclosed by the subject. I get lost in the subject. I'm grabbed by the subject. I grab the subject, but the subject grabs me as well. Right? B'shoshem asigoy v'toyseh v'slichi when I understand it properly with my seichel. So what he's going to explain is that such a unity cannot does not happen in the physical. Either I grab this or it grabs me. I can't do both. The physical doesn't work. Right? Either something envelops me or I grab something. But you don't have both. With seichel you could. Right? Therefore, we talk about grasping Torah. Different than mitzvahs. Mitzvahs only works one way. I grasp the mitzvah. I pick up the tefillin. Whatever, right? I put up a mezuzah. So I'm holding the mitzvah. So that's one way of thinking. But with seichel, when I learn Torah, and again, going back on Perek Dalet, I learn Torah, I'm hugging the king, I'm grasping the king, because Hashem's in the Torah. There's a yichud, there's a oneness, which is far greater than just by a mitzvah. Because it's a two-way grasping. And he's gonna sort of give an example now. It's like this. Derech Moshe. For example. Kesha'odam meivin umasig eze halacha. When a person understands or grasps a halacha, he learns a concept in Torah. B'mishnoi b'gemara. In the Mishnah or the Gemara. La'ashura aburya. And he learns it very well. Learns it properly. Gets it. My intellect is grasping the concept and surrounding it. But vegam sichloi, but my seichel, my intellect is also melubish bo, is also grasped by it, enclosed in it, oisho at the same time. Now, hine halacha zu. This halacha that we're learning, right? This is, we're talking about learning now. We're not talking about learning a subject. We're talking about learning something which is the wisdom and the desire of Hashem. Right? That's what we're learning. We're learning a manifestation of Hashem Himself. We're learning something which is one with Hashem. Right? We're learning a concept. That Hashem had a will, had a desire, whatever that desire was, for example. If Reuven comes to Beis Din and he has this claim, Derech Moshel, by way of example, and Shimon claims, counterclaims, that the psak, the halach will be such and such. Right? That's what we learn. I don't know if he's making reference to any particular halacha, but for example, what's fitting very to the good example, we learn Shnayim Moichs and Metalis. There's a Mishnah about two people coming to Beis Din, holding on to a talis, right? This one says it belongs to me, this one belongs to me, so the loch is, how you do, they have to swear, whatever, and you split it, whatever, okay. And there's lots to learn on that Mishnah, lots to understand, lots to analyze. So you learn it, you fully get it, right? Now he says an amazing thing. Vev'af imloy. He's going to explain, this is such an important foundation, this. You see, This is why learning Torah is so important. Now, you know, education is important, right? So, we learn for various reasons. We learn to know what to do. That's first of all, right? So, learning. We learn laws of Shabbos, laws of Kashrus, so you know what to do. That's, when we learn that, we're doing the mitzvah of learning Torah also. We're also learning, we're also preparing for doing the mitzvahs, right? Or we learn about things. So, we learn the depth of eating matzah or the halachas of matzah. We know the reasons for minhagim, right? I always tell people, the more you know about it, the more you prepare, the more rich it is, the more meaningful it is, all that kind of stuff. That's not what he's talking about here in Tanya. In Tanya is learning for the sake of learning. Learning is Hashem's Torah. All those other benefits are true and critical, right? But here we're talking about learning because it's Hashem's wisdom, that's all.
Even if you don't understand it.
What's that?
Even if you don't understand it?
You have to understand the concept. You might not understand the axioms behind it. Right? Yeah, in other words, it's a godly seichel, so there might be parts of it that you should have to submit to. So to give you an example, Hashem says that everything will be established by two witnesses, right? Do you understand why it's two witnesses, not three witnesses? I mean, two, maybe three. I mean, why, right? Okay, that's the Ratzon of Hashem. But we understand the application of that, right? So yeah, you have to understand, that's the point. Can't learn Gemara, especially Torah Shabbat Peh. If you learn Chumash, you do a mitzvah, even if it's, you don't understand. But if you learn Gemara or Mishnah, you have to understand. Not to fill a mitzvah, right? We're talking about understanding. That's the point, because we have to grasp it. He says like this. This is what he says now. Hine. Even if this halacha will never happen, there are parts of Torah that are very unlikely to happen. People always ask, why am I learning this? What's the relevance? Okay, so most times there is relevance because, you know, school kids often ask this, right? They live in this from, you learn about something, having an argument about an ox and a donkey, they don't have an ox and donkey in their backyard. So that's the relevance is. So that's a silly question really because, of course, it's got relevance because the same thing gets applied to a car. In other words, the principles are the same. But that's not what he's talking about here. He's talking about even if something like that won't happen, even if it's a total mitzvah, total idea or halacha, that won't happen. Never come to base such a thing. It'll never happen. Lova in the mishpat that it should come to litigation. Al tainus or tfiyas elu. Practically, it won't happen. So what's the point of learning it? The point is this. Nevertheless, because this is the will of Hashem. That Shaim Yitoin Zeh Kach Zeh Kach Yap Sakach. That if this one will say this one will say that, this will be the Pesach Halacha. Right? Hare Kesha Odom Yoideya Kesha Odom Yoideya Umasik Besichles. When a person knows this idea and he understands with his intellect and he grasps it, Pesach Zeh, this ruling, Kahalacha Arucha, like a proper explained Halacha, Mishnah Oy Gemara, Oy Paskin, whether it's in the Mishnah or it's in the Gemara or in the response of the halachic authorities, whatever the case is, Hareze Masig V'Toyfes U'Makiv B'Sichloi, he's grabbing and surrounding with his Ratzin, right? Ritzoynoi V'Chachmosei Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he's now understanding the will and the wisdom of Hashem, the less Machshavat V'Sebei, that Hashem can never be grasped, nor can his will, nor can his wisdom, unless they are expressed in the halachas of Torah, the way we know them, then you can grasp Hashem. Then you can be one with Hashem. So your seichel grasps that concept, and if you're grasping Hashem, the gam sichloi, at the same time your intellect melubishpem is not only grasping it, but it's being grasped by it. You lost in Hashem. You're swimming in Hashem's world. Yichud nifla, it's a oneness, it's an amazing oneness. She'en yichud kamoyu, that there's no such yichud, there's no such oneness. V'loy ke'erkoy, nothing remotely compares to it. Nimsa klal begashmius, nothing can be found like that in the physical world. Liyois la'achodim u'miyuchodim mamish, to be completely one and complete, have such a level of oneness, be called sadupina from every angle.
A
lot.
But this is suggesting that we
can't. No, that's right. Because the only way you can do it is through Torah. Same thing you ask. Why did Yohanan say that no thought can grasp Hashem? That is true. Unless Hashem puts himself into the Torah and we learn the Torah. Can you give me 1 minute, please? Sorry. Excuse me.
I'm finding my Hebrew's zero, but I can understand what you're saying sometimes.
just want to point out what you said about the Rav Melech saying, my thoughts are your thoughts. It also has a different meaning, which is still completely true, which is sometimes Hashem does things that we don't understand. So that's something else. Tragedy, chas v'shalom, or... So we always have to know, whatever Hashem does, He does. He doesn't think the way we think, and we don't know His thoughts. So that's on a simple level, right? But it was used in Tanya before that to say that our thoughts are not His thoughts, although we can understand Him and think about Him through Torah. And grab Him and grasp Him through Torah. Well, not just because it's a blueprint. That is true. Here the Chiddush is differently, that we wouldn't be able to connect him because we can't connect to Him because He's beyond us. Okay. There would be no way other than to connect anyway. It's not like it's an option. Because no human brain can grasp Hashem. No one can understand Hashem. No one can come close to Hashem. But the gift of Torah is that Hashem is one with His Torah, and He allowed Torah to travel down and to be expressed in terminology that we understand. So it comes out like this, that there's two amazing thoughts that come out of here, right? One is, we explained last week, that the Torah traveled down from level to level, right? The Torah is not a handbook to respond to society. That's not what Torah is. Torah is the expression of Hashem, which was always there, preceded the world, transcended the world. Hashem allowed it to come down and to be expressed in human terminology. So the ox being exchanged with the donkey is the ox and the donkey is the part is the garment that it's being expressed through. But the idea was there before. The will of Hashem is there before. The wisdom of Hashem is there before. And the greatness is that when we're learning about the ox and the donkey, we're still learning a godly desire, godly wisdom. Just in terms that we can understand. But that's such an important thing, because the important thing is to understand that we learn Torah as not a subject. So it's an interesting combination. See, Torah is not a subject. Torah is a godly wisdom beyond us. It's been a gift to us. It's been gifted to us in a way that it can come through the terminology that makes it possible for us to grasp at some level, right? That's why there's always aspects of Torah which you have to submit to. And that's why it's an absolute truth. It's not like any other subject that you can challenge. You can analyze, you can ask questions, and you should ask questions, and you can compare. That's what we do in yeshiva. We learn every year. We do that, right? We ask questions. How come? Why is Rashi saying like this? Why is Tosfos saying like that? How come this Gemara says this and other Gemara says the opposite? So we got to ask, right? But it's not asked to challenge. It's asked to understand. And there are aspects they want to understand, because the Torah is built on certain axioms. So even mishpatim, even civil laws, like which we call rational laws, right, that we have given reason, there's always axioms to them that don't make any sense because they're axiomatic, like the two witnesses or if one witness can obligate a shua, all different aspects. Even those parts of the Gemara which are very intellectual, which are very understandable, but they're understandable in terms of the application and the logic behind them, but it's always based on some axioms, right? There's a whole other approach to learning this. It's another understanding of Torah. And then the next point, which is the point of this parak, is that the oneness achieved through understanding of Torah is unbelievable. And it's a oneness not just with Torah, it's a oneness with Hashem, because Hashem is in the Torah. Yeah? Okay, so he says, the Zois Milo Yesera. This is the great advantage, so to speak. Do you live in floor, the wondrous thing. NK, it's infinitely. Asher be mitzvah yediyas ha-Torah, which exists in the mitzvah of knowing Torah, vasagosa and grasping Torah, al kol ha-mitzvahs maisis, on all the action mitzvahs. In other words, there's a greatness of Torah over mitzvahs. Vafil ha-mitzvahs atluis b'dibro, mitzvahs, be they action mitzvahs or even verbal mitzvahs. Afilu al mitzvahs Talmud Torah, shebedibur. Even over the mitzvah of learning Torah, speech. Always, as I said, Torah has two parts to it. There's the mitzvah of understanding Torah, the mitzvah of speaking the Torah, right? So there's advantage specifically in understanding Torah. Why? Because through all the mitzvahs which we speak, or my soul action, HaKadosh Baruch Hu malbishes hanefesh umakifo oir Hashem bereishis v'adragl. Mitzvahs are called makifim, encompassing. In other words, what happens when we do a mitzvah, Hashem grabs us more. In other words, it's more a light of Kedusha that is encompassing us, right? That's what happens. You light a Shabbos candle, give tzedakah, you do a mitzvah, the light of Hashem envelops you, right? But the idea of Torah, when it comes to understanding Torah, besides our intellect being encompassed by the wisdom of Hashem, but also the Chochmas Hashem is in us. We are grasping the Chochmas Hashem as well. That's the greatness. Masha Seichel Masig V'Toifes U'Makiv P'Sichloi, that the Seichel, the intellect, grabs, encompasses in our intellect, Mimasha Efshel Lipoy Salahasi Midis HaTorah, as much as we can grasp from the learning of Torah, Ishke P'Sichloi, each person according to his intellect, the power of his knowledge, the power of his understanding, the pardes in the various parts of Torah, pshat, remez, drush, and zoid. So that's the advantage of Torah. A mitzvah encompasses us, but we don't encompass it. I mean, we grab the object of the mitzvah, but that's not what we mean. We mean the kedusha of the mitzvah, right? In Torah, besides the Torah grabbing us, We grab the Torah, and that's a oneness that we don't find anywhere else. Of course, there are advantages of mitzvahs over Torah. I mean, if a person learns Torah and doesn't do mitzvahs, then the Torah is worth nothing, right? Because I mean, not the Torah is worth nothing. Obviously, it's mitzvah learn Torah. I'm saying that the Torah is not complete at all, because the purpose of Torah is to keep mitzvahs. Because there are things that mitzvahs accomplish that Torah doesn't. For example, making Hashem a dwelling place in this world is mainly through mitzvahs, not through Torah. You don't elevate the physical world other than mitzvahs, action mitzvahs, speaking mitzvahs, and so on, right? Also, it's explained somewhere that mitzvahs have a greater degree of bittul. In other words, the obedience aspect of serving Hashem, the submission to Hashem, is sometimes grasped more in mitzvah than is in Torah. You see, the downside of Torah in that way, in this is, that's what it's so important to learn, right? Because by definition, the way Torah works is understanding, it's very possible, put it that way, for a person to learn Torah in a very egocentric way, right? We don't do mitzvahs like that for the most part, right? No one gives up bread for 7 days because he wants to be arrogant, right? No one does that, right? You don't eat bread for 7 days because Hashem said so, that's why. I mean, okay, you might like matzah and all that kind of stuff, but
people sometimes make a big deal out of the fact that I did so.
Oh, that's possible. I said for the most part, right? No one engages in mitzvahs. Yeah, I mean, if you're an observant person, you're doing mitzvahs, there's a danger always. Ego can get in the way of everything, so there's danger we could do a mitzvah, make a big deal out of it to show how pious we are. Okay, right?
Yeah.
But that's after you've submitted to the mitzvah already, in other words, so you might as well look good. But you don't know initially, you don't sign up for mitzvahs unless you're doing because Hashem wants you to do it, right? Generally speaking. Right? But Torah is different. Torah is a subject. I mean, the academics today that study Shas, you know what I'm saying? They have a very different view of how to understand it, but it's not a mitzvah, it's different, you know what I'm saying? That's why we have this concept. Later on, Tanya talks about it. And we have to constantly remind ourselves of why we're learning. Right? Because that's why humility is such an important part of learning Torah. That's why we have the bracha that we make before Torah. In the Gemara it says that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because they didn't make the bracha on Torah before they learned Torah. Right? So it says. You know what I'm talking about? The morning brachas is brachas you make on learning Torah, right? So the question is asked, okay, it's not a nice thing that didn't make the bracha, but it's such that avera should bring about the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. I mean, it's not up there on the major sins, you know what I'm saying, to miss out the bracha, right? So the answer is, it's not to make the bracha. They didn't accomplish what the bracha accomplishes. The whole idea of making the bracha is that before we learn, we say, Baruch HaTa Hashem, Noisein HaTorah, that Hashem is one giving the Torah. It's very possible to learn Torah and to forget that there's a giver of the Torah. Just treat it like any old subject, right?
A non-Jew cannot connect
the same way we can connect. It's a different connection.
So you can't actually blame them for studying
as
a subject.
No one's blaming anything.
No, well,
they don't need to study it, and if they do, they can study as a subject. And you're right. It's a different role. And not just a different role. The role of non-Jew is to connect to Hashem through creating a functional society. That's the seven mitzvahs ben Noach. Different role. Right? No one's expecting that. No, it's not an expectation. Right? In fact, halachically, the only obligation of study a non-Jew has is to study the halachas that they're obligated in. But it's a different type of study. It's a study more for the purpose of doing. They have to believe in Hashem, and they should study things that are beneficial for being a good person. Right?
But you say things like...
I meant
like
Jewish academics, by the way, when I said that.
Oh. Right, okay. Different
when I was highlighting it as a problem, I didn't mean non-Jewish. I meant Jewish academics.
No,
I meant Jewish academics. Right?
Okay. Are
you
studying it to connect? Are you studying it because you're studying
it? Yeah. Yeah. Right, but I thought you meant non-Jewish. No, I'm Jewish. So in other words, that's the point. So that's why we have to have this concept of humility, because we have always... here's the catch, right? It's very hard to do a mitzvah and forget about Hashem, because you're doing it for Hashem. I mean, you can do it by rote and all that kind of stuff, understand that, right? But it's very easy to forget Hashem and the very thing that connects us to Hashem the most. Why? Because the very mechanism that we connect... The connection happens through understanding. If you just read the book, it won't connect you. You've got to understand it, that's the point. The point is to grasp it, and it to grasp you, and so on and so forth, right? That's what he's saying. The danger with that is that because it's all about you getting lost in the idea and understanding it properly, it can very quickly turn into an academic subject. You see what I'm saying? Like, you can't learn a Tosfos, you can't learn a Rashi or Chumash like a person davens with a big kavana. You've got to be present, you've got to understand, you've got to ask questions. Right, you can't sing a nigun and clap your hands. You could daven that way, maybe, but you can't learn a Rashi like that.
Yeah.
Right, because the very vehicle of the mechanism of connecting is through understanding it. So you've got to have a human brain. You've got to have a seichel. You've got to understand. You've got to look up sources. You've got to almost treat it like an academic subject to a point. You know what I'm saying? And yet, remember the whole time that it's not. And learn it that way with the proper respect, the proper humility, and the proper submission. Let's see. It says like this. Therefore, like this. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 lines on the bottom. Well, the fi says, and because should be yediyas haTorah, because when we learn Torah, we understand Torah, knowledge of Torah. HaTorah mulubeshes b'nef ha'adam, the Torah is enclosed in our soul. But v'sichlo u'makefes b'sechem are also encompassed by the Torah. Lochei nikra Torah b'shem lechem u'mozayn. That's why Torah is called bread and food, hanefesh, of the soul. Not why. Mitzvahs are called garments of the soul. Torah is called food of the soul. Why? Ki kamo shalechem agashmi, just like physical bread. Zonas aguf sustains the body, kishmach nisei b'soich, when you take it in. The kirba mamash becomes mamash part of you. V'nepach shomana transforms the liyos damabos, becomes your blood and flesh, kipsori, like your own flesh. And then you're going to live and you're going to survive. Kachvi, diyesa Torah, so too with the knowledge of Torah. V'hasagosu, and it's understanding. V'nefesh adlam shalom dahetev, in the soul of the person that understands it very well. Be'iyun sichle, with proper research. Achen it peses besichle, until it becomes grasped by his knowledge. U'misachedes imo, it becomes one with him. Hoyu la'achodim. And they become one. Nase mozoin lenefesh v'chaim b'kirbo mechaya chaim ein sol baruch. It becomes the food of the soul, life within the soul, from the source of all life, which is Hashem. Hamelubush b'chachmasa, which is now completely encompassed by your wisdom, v'teirasa yishem b'kirbo, and the Torah, which is within you now. V'zeh shakasim, this is what it says in The pasuk it says, David HaMelech says, "V'soyrascha b'soich me'ay," your Torah is in my stomach. What he meant was, for spiritually speaking, not mitzvahs. Your Torah is in my stomach. Or is Torah something I can actually grasp? Mitzvahs, we also become one with Hashem, but it's the mitzvahs is the garments around us, so we're dressed up in a godly thing. But Torah, we're actually internalizing. Torah becomes part of who we are. Like it says in Eitz Chaim, in the writings of the Arizal, in Eitz Chaim, in the Chaim Vital, right? That when the Shoma comes to Gan Eden, right? The Shoma comes to Gan Eden, in order for it to learn Torah up there in the way it's learned there, which is more in the revelation aspect, as we explained last week. But it needs, it can't just be exposed to Gan Eden without proper tools. So it needs food and it needs garments which are required in this world, right? So the Eitz Chaim says that when the Shoma comes to Gan Eden, the garments of the souls, the Gan Eden hena mitzvahs, that's the mitzvahs. The Torah hi amozin. The Torah is the food, and the Shomas she'osku bo'olam hazeh b'Torah lishma. It's food for the neshamas that learned Torah in this world, but learned it for the sake of heaven, lishma, for the sake, for proper sake. Because of Zohar by Yaakov Daf Resh Yud. What does that mean? What's lishma? Lishma means, what does it mean? It's a whole concept in Chazal called learning Torah lishma. Learn Torah for the right reason. Learn Torah for heaven's sake, right? What is that? It means, Hainuk Kasha Nafshel Hashem Al Yidei Hasagas HaTorah, to connect your soul with Hashem through grasping the Torah. Ishka fisichloi meshukasa priyetz chayim. Each person according to his own knowledge, as it says in priyetz chayim. Yeah? That's why, because Torah is food. And that's the greatness of Torah. Just one thing to finish off with. They mentioned here that when the Shammah comes to Gan Eden, it needs clothing, it needs garments, and it needs food, right? It can't just be exposed to Gan Eden. That's the Torah and the mitzvahs that the person did in this world. So there's a famous Gemara, we've mentioned it many times, about Tshuva. There was a fellow called Rabbi Lazar ben Drudaya. He was a gangster. He had committed every aveira in the book. A whole story, he once traveled, he was very promiscuous, you know, he once traveled and paid a lot of money to go live with a particular prostitute, and in the middle she said something to him like, your life is not worth very much. And suddenly he got this inspiration to do Tshuva, and he went and sat between two mountains, the whole thing. Eventually his neshama left his body through unbelievable yearning and tshuva and regret and so on to be connected to Hashem. And a heavenly voice came out and said, welcome, Rebbe Lazar ben Drudaya, like Rabbi Lazar ben Drudaya. In other words, in one moment he had completely transformed his whole life, right? Because he had tshuva, and tshuva can work like that. Tshuva can be mamash in one moment. But al pi Kabbalah, what happened was with him, they came to Gan Eden, it was very nice, he was welcome into Gan Eden, but he wasn't let in. Because he didn't have the garments, he didn't have food, he didn't have the tools with him. In other words, yes, he didn't get punished for any avery that he did, because he had tshuva and it was wonderful, but he didn't have the tools, right? So what happened was, apparently, that there was another person called Rabbi Yochanan Kohen Gadol, right? The Gemara tells us, Rabbi Yochanan Kohen Gadol was a very big tzaddik, and he served as a Kohen Gadol for 80 years, and then he became a heretic, became a tzaduki, right? That's what Pirkei Avos says, we never trust ourselves, we're never sure that we're okay, we have to always check ourselves, right? Became a tzaduki. His problem was the other way around. When he came to Gan Eden, he had plenty of tools, but he wasn't let in. Couldn't. So his Torah mitzvahs got transferred to the Lazar ben Drudaya to be able to have the tools to go into Gan Eden. Anyway, it's not a nice thing, but yeah. All right, we'll stop there.